Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Ohio Martial Arts Mind Power. Today's podcast was recorded live during our drive-in meditation class at the Shops at Fallen Timbers. Thanks for being here, and we hope you enjoy.
Problem with meditation is a lot like the word love. So, you know, there's all these different meanings for one word, or like they used to say that the Eskimos have multiple words for the word snow, right? Each one has a different description. So the point of meditation is there's many people doing meditation and they're doing things that may be very beneficial and very helpful, but they're not really what we mean when we talk about what meditation actually is. So in order to understand meditation's purpose, the first thing is we have to back up and look at the mental basis of everything that all martial arts, at least all authentic martial arts, is taught based on. And that is this principle called law of attraction, or way we refer to it in our dojo as law of momentum. And law of momentum is just a little bit more descriptive of what we're talking about. And what law of momentum is law of momentum means that where thought goes, I begin to move in the direction of those things that I think about. In other words, I begin to create my own reality through where I focus my mind, where I direct my mind. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I told this story, and I even told it in one of the classes last week, but it's a really good illustration so that people will truly understand what we mean by where our thought goes. That's, it affects our behavior, it affects the things that we attract and bring into our lives. So when I was like 6 years old, in a park right across from where I was living, they had opened a new slide. And it's one of those slides that moves in a curlicue, that moves in a circle. And so what happened was I climbed to the top of the slide, and I was so excited. But then as I get to the top of the slide, I got scared. I was so scared. And the kids are behind me. I can't get back down the slide. So I go, and as soon as I go, like I get around the bend, my hands reach out, I grab the edge of the slide, and I'm holding on for dear life at that moment. And this is exactly what happens to us in life. We have a desire, but then we have a belief or a thought or a point of focus that works against the desire. So even at 6 years old, I had a powerful desire to participate, to enjoy the slide like all the other kids were doing, to have the exhilaration of going down the slide, to have the fun, to feel like I was powerful and to feel like I was brave. But I had a belief. And what was the belief? Well, there was a belief there that said, if you let go or if you go down the slide, you're going to get hurt. Now, we know that's a false belief. I knew mentally it was false even at 6 years old because I saw hundreds of kids going down the slide. I never saw a single one of them get hurt. But because that belief was active, I was gripping onto the edge of the slide. And so it would have been very easy for someone to say, hey, kid, just let go of the edge of the slide. It's easy, let go. But I physically couldn't do it. And every one of you is aware of situations in other people's lives because they're a lot easier to see in other people, but also maybe you're aware of situations in your own life that are exactly the same way. You know someone that spends more money than they make. And they always complain about what? Why they don't have any money. Yet they're the ones that are always spending more money. You go to the restaurant, they order the most expensive thing on the menu. They buy the most expensive shoes that are available, and so on. But the point is simply this, that people are governed by their beliefs more than what it is that they say that they want. Many of us know somebody that has a food addiction, and no matter what, they can't break that food addiction because they have a conflicting belief. So when we back up just a little bit and we think about meditation, then we could say is meditation is this process of learning to focus the mind and discipline the mind so that we can increase our sensitivity, so that we can increase our awareness of our emotions, and so that we can begin to direct thought where we want it to go. And so that is the biggest purpose or the biggest thought or in meditation or what we're really trying to do. And when you get control of thought, then many of the goals, many of the things that you've wanted in your life, you can begin to move easily towards them. So that's the overall premise. So the second point then that I want to make is and I'll give everybody a process that they can do today that's kind of interesting. So when we talk about this idea of law of momentum or law of attraction, I want you to be aware that there are multiple subjects that you have in your life. You have all kinds of subjects. You have your relationships, you have your money, you have your physical health, you have your martial art practice itself, you have the foreign language that you're studying and trying to learn, you have your work. You have all these different role of a parent, role as a son or daughter, all of these different roles. But all these thousands of subjects that you have in your life are really react a little bit like a stick or like a magnet. So if you imagine a magnet that looks like a stick that has two poles, so you have a negative pole and you have a positive pole, right? And so what happens is there's this idea that if I have a desire and I'm focused on that desire and I have no opposition, then that positive part of the pole is what's being activated. But if I have a negative thought or a negative belief, like, for example, let's take something super easy to understand like money. If there's a part of me that says, I really want money, I would like to do better, I'd like to be better off financially, but then there's this part, I don't have enough money, my parents never had enough money, I come from a poor family, there's never enough, there's never enough, there's never enough, then what I've essentially done is I've activated the negative part of that magnet, the negative part of that stick. Now, just like real magnets, if you had a variety of sticks that were magnetic that had a positive pole and a negative pole, and you put them on the ground and you began to push them around and stir them up on the ground, what you would notice is that the ends that attract one another would start sticking to each other. So here's what happens, and this is why the law of momentum is so powerful. Usually when you start to win in one area, that one area can begin to drag other positive areas into your influence as well. But when you start to lose in one area, that area can also drag down other areas as well. So what happens is once you begin to get the hang of this, and once you begin to learn to be able to activate positive emotions on purpose, then the very thing that you needed to do to focus on your own well-being or maybe your own relationship will have a tendency to affect your finances. And the very thing that you do to affect your finances will have a tendency to affect your relationship with your family. And the very thing that is affecting the positive relationship you have with your family is giving you that motivation that you need sometimes to work out. And now all of a sudden your health is getting better. In other words, when you start winning and winning and winning and winning and winning. But conversely, we know the opposite is also true. And that is when we start to lose, we start losing and losing and losing. And the world is filled with examples of that. And believe me, I've been a big example of that in a lot of areas too. So the third principle that I guess I wanted to talk about a little bit today is a principle sometimes called the law of source. At least that's what I call it in my books. And the law of source kind of works like this. That every time you have a desire, something that you want with all of your being, what begins to happen is you're beginning to communicate to a larger part of yourself. And that larger part of yourself focuses on that positive end of the stick. It puts its focus there, it keeps it there, it's lock solid, dialed in, on top, in charge, on it, right? And every time you have a thought or a point of focus that opposes that larger part of yourself, that inner being, that Buddha nature, that soul, that spirit, that unconscious mind, whatever language you want to use for it, every time that you have a thought that opposes it, you will get a sense of negativity, a negative emotion. So we go around in the world thinking that our negative feelings are being caused by events. Look at what the COVID virus has done. My life is ruined. Look what she did to me. She left me. She took the kids. Look what that bank did. That was so unfair. Look what that neighbor did. But the truth of the matter is, and it's a bitter pill for all of us to follow, but this is the truth. Those negative emotions that we're feeling are nothing more than one thing. We've told our inner being we want to be powerful. We've told our inner being we want to be loving. We've told our inner being we want to be good and kind and be self-sufficient. We've told our inner being that we want to forgive rather than hate. We've told our inner being that we want health. We've told our inner being we want peace, that we want joy. We've told our inner being we want all of those things. And our inner being went right to that positive end of the stick and activated it. And it's blowing and flowing. And then what are we doing? We're looking away. We're looking the exact opposite direction. And as far as we focus away from what our true self is focused on, the more that we do that, the more terrible it feels. Now, I started this talk by telling you a little bit about when I was on this slide when I was a kid, and I was holding on to the edge of the slide, because my inner being was already going down and zipping around and riding on that slide again and again and again, while I was gripping because I had a belief that was opposing my inner being. But here's what happens in life, just like what happened to me. Sooner or later, a big fat kid is going to come down that slide and knock you off. And that's what happened to me. So what happens to us is most of us tell our inner being we want to be more loving, but we allow ourselves to focus on hate, and we want more financial abundance, but we focus on lack and those kinds of things. And then life causes us to still end up going down the slide, but under extreme circumstances. A person is asking for a good relationship, but they're focusing on all the negative things about their partner, and then one day they end up with a divorce. Somebody's asking for more financial abundance, asking for more security, and then one day they end up bankrupt, you see. And of course, when we go through that divorce, sometimes we come out on the other end of it and we find the perfect relationship. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe the relationship that we were already in was the perfect one, but there was something we just couldn't let go of. Now, every situation is different, and please don't take everything that I say totally literally, but I think you get the point. The point is most of us allow a crisis to create the change in our lives that we want. And when we think about what's going on today with this COVID virus thing, I mean, isn't that sort of something that maybe was happening globally anyway? Wasn't there this massive asking for harmony, for people to get along? Wasn't this horrible, not even just in our country, but certainly in our country, this horrible pushing against this idea that one group was right and the other group was wrong, and the other group constantly was working to make the other group wrong, and the fight and the fight and the fight and the fight. And from that asking, the biggest fat kid of all has come into our lives called COVID-19. And for many of us, we're taking the lesson of the fat kid. We're taking the lesson of letting go of the slide. We're deciding, man, I guess it is time to spend more time with family rather than doing all this running around that I probably shouldn't have. Maybe it is time to take more walks in nature. Wow, lo and behold, what is it that kills the virus? Getting out into the sunshine and being outside, safest place you can be. Maybe we needed to examine the idea of riding our bicycles a little bit more and doing things that are a little bit more environmentally friendly, rather than living and breathing and dying based on always using our machines to sometimes pollute our environment and the world around us. And so we asked, our source went there, and we didn't go, but the big fat kid called COVID-19 has kind of pushed us into some of the changes that maybe we needed in our lives in the first place. So one last principle, and then I'll open up to questions. And the final principle is to know that when we talk about this idea of inner being, that your inner being or your soul or your spirit, your Buddha nature, again, whatever words you want to use, you can use, is also constantly communicating to you. And it communicates to you in the form of emotions, and then the next level is impulses. Subtle impulses that, if you will follow them through the path of least resistance, will guide you more and more and more to be in position so that you can focus on the positive end of that stick. And what does that look like? What does it look like when you've meditated for a long enough period and you're starting to get these impulses, and you follow these impulses, and they lead to your good. Well, we use the term the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance is, what is the impulse that feels pleasant, that feels good, that feels joyful, that feels like it contains high interest? So one of the techniques that I'll just give you today is, and if you have a piece of paper, you can do this, but if you don't, you can at least hear it, and you can, this video will be up, you can kind of listen to it again if you want, but sometimes it's called the Swiss cheese process, right? And it's very good for getting unstuck and also training yourself to listen to your internal, listen to your spirit rather than doing all the things that's in your head. So what you do is you take a piece of paper, and what you do is take a big piece of paper and write a big circle in that piece of paper. So fill up the whole piece of paper, that big circle. And inside that circle, put 10 or 12 or 15 other little circles big enough that you can write in. And then just let your mind wander and say to yourself something like this. In these circles, I'm going to write the things that are subjects that come up for me. It could be the things I need to do. It could be I need to make some coffee. It could be I want to check in, see what's going on with the COVID virus. It could be I want to call my dad. It could be I need to make the bed today. It could be I wanted to do some research on that new Bluetooth headset that I need for making calls. It could be that, ooh, I got to double check and make sure that my checking account's in order, and so on and so forth. All the things that you have to do. And you just simply write them and fill up all of those 12 holes on your piece of paper with those subjects. Then, what we talked about last week, since we know that when we ask, the asking for something is at a separate vibration or a different vibrational level than the receiving, what we would do then is we would separate ourselves from the asking. So get up, go ahead and make the coffee. If you want some, have a cup, wash your hands, do whatever you want to do, but go away for about 5-10 minutes. And then come back and look at your piece of paper. And if you just relax your eyes a little bit and look at your piece of paper and ask yourself, what's the one thing on here that looks like the most fun or that I'm most interested in, it looks the coolest, that I really feel a motivation or a desire? What you'll notice is one or two of those things will jump out. And my belief is, and my teaching is that thing that jumps out on that piece of paper is your soul telling you this would be a really good direction for you to move in right now. Now, once you start moving in that direction, so here's a practical example, and this is exactly, you know, what has happened to me numerous times, but I did this exercise the other day, and the exercise was, it was one of the ones that I used, which was research Bluetooth headsets. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. Now, if somebody was using their mind to look at this from the outside, they would look at it and they would go, what are you talking about? Bluetooth headsets. There's all sorts of dojo work that needs to be done. There's this needs to be done. This text needs to be sent out. This class needs to be prepared for. There's all of this stuff. You've got a perfectly good Bluetooth headset already. What in the world? But there it was right there on my Swiss cheese assignment. And I looked at it and I said, I'm going to research. And wow, it was fun. And I looked at it and that was neat. And then I had this inspiration that since my laptop was already open, I ought to go ahead and look at that new app for the dojo that I've been working with developers on. And I opened up the app and I saw a section on the web interface to the app that completely transformed the entire app so that it's going to be awesome. And I would have never gotten there Had I said, there's this real hard work that I've got to do, and I've got to have the discipline to go do the work. Instead, I used the Swiss cheese method because my inner being knew that I was resistant to doing the work because maybe I was lazy or whatever belief that I had that was in the way. But my inner being also knew that I was interested in Bluetooth headsets and took me right to the Bluetooth headset so that I could go around my belief so that I could go right back into the real work that needed to be done and get the work accomplished. And see, that's the point. And then after this, I'm going to open it up to questions. The point is, people are afraid that if they don't listen to this, they're going to lose all this other stuff. And here's the reality. It's by listening to this stuff that you do lose all the other stuff, because you've been listening to this stuff for a long time and you're still holding on to the damn slide. And instead, if you'll start listening to this by using these processes, of course, the king of all processes is what we're doing today, which is meditation. But you'll start using some of these processes to get the mind out of the way and to start responding to the heart will lead you to everything that you wanted anyway. It's just the way it works. It's learning to follow your instinct rather than your mind. So again, before I open it up to questions, which I will in just a moment, the natural thing is, and somebody that's new might say, well, why is it that we meditate then? What is the purpose? How does meditation do that very thing? Well, what meditation does is it eliminates all thought. So it brings our mind to a point of stillness. And all negative beliefs that are keeping you apart from your heart, that are keeping you apart from your soul, your inner being, all of those beliefs are located in the mind. And when the mind is still, you let go of those beliefs. And when you let go of those beliefs, you open up a channel between the you that's living your physical life and the larger you that sees the big picture and sees the good in everything. And that's how you become, folks, more powerful. So that is my talk today. You never know where it's going to go. I don't know if people say, how do you plan these talks? I don't. I just let them blow and I let them flow, and I hope there was some things there.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Ohio Martial Arts Mind Power. Keep coming back every week for more interviews, talks, and hopefully some inspiration. Thanks a lot for listening and all your support.